It's now time for a very future of games edition with no games to talk about on this episode thing of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we normally play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service to tell you which games to pass into your friends, which games to simply pass on by. However, the internet was on fire and we were roasting some marshmallows on the flames, watching it burn. And we're going to talk about that. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who's going third party, Basher.
I'm never going third party. Sunny point till I die.
Wow. First party. What about second party?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, who's second party right now? What does that even mean for them?
Is
that
Helldivers is technically second party.
This is true. Okay. Yeah. No, Helldivers game of the year. I'm second party too. Let's go in.
So we took a couple weeks off unexpectedly. Life happens. And of course, we decided to take some time off right when the internet decided to explode about some rumors that Microsoft was getting out of the console business. They were altering their strategy. They were basically going third party. All of Microsoft's games were going to be coming to other consoles, whether it was Switch, whether it was PlayStation. I don't even really know where this rumor started. I believe it was a couple of just quote insiders on Twitter and Xbox Era and the various NeoGAFs, etc., said, "Hey, I've heard that Starfield is." It started with Hi-Fi Rush. It was Hi-Fi Rush is coming to other consoles, and then that turned into Starfield, and then that turned into everything. Everything is coming to other consoles. I believe there was one person specifically on NeoGAF that I believe has basically called this mostly right. I do not know. I think his name is Sneakers or something like that. But he basically said this is happening, this isn't happening, and he's mostly right, but we'll get into that to a minute. So here's the breakdown of what actually happened. So Microsoft was very quiet when these rumors hit, which led to speculation that it's true. But what's actually happening is that Microsoft is bringing four titles to other consoles, and since then we've got them released, but and during their podcast that they called it, the update on Xbox Business, they would not say the four titles, but we know that they are Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, and Grounded. Grounded and Pentiment are coming to Nintendo Switch. Hi-Fi Rush, Pentiment, Sea of Thieves, and Grounded are all coming to PlayStation. Some of those have dates, some of them do not. Going forward, there is not any changes to Xbox Game Pass. All first-party games are coming to Xbox Game Pass. There was a rumor that Microsoft was dropping that, or they were adding a new tier to Xbox Game Pass that only included first-party titles, and there was going to be like another tier that didn't have first-party titles but had the whole catalog. Yeah, so no changes to Game Pass at all. And when it comes to future titles, like Indiana Jones or Starfield, which was strange, is Phil Spencer did say that, yo, we are not bringing Starfield and we are not bringing Indiana Jones. And they said, well, what about Ever? And he's like, I will not rule it out. But then he did an interview with The Verge after it, and again, didn't. He always just leaves the door open, and we'll talk about Microsoft's messaging here soon. And then the final thing is that they are committing to a new wave of consoles. The rumor is that they're going to have a high-end console and a portable of some kind. So this, like I said, this exploded. You know, like people really thought Microsoft was about to get out of the games business, or in terms of the first-party business, and they were going third-party. So let's just talk about it a little bit. I think we could break this down into the future consoles, Game Pass, and just our overall feelings. So how are we feeling overall about this supposed change in the strategy?
Well, if you're someone who owns more than one console, it doesn't matter at all, you know?
Right.
If you only own just one, it's really good news for you. I mean, you get more games. If you're an Xbox fanboy, though, it really... And by fanboy, I mean the NeoGAF surfers, you know, the people who really don't touch grass ever. Those guys, yeah, it does suck for you because you're in an environment, in a bubble of your own creation, by the way, where there is like this console war, and this would technically, and by those means, mean you're losing it. But for everyone else, it's really good news as gamers.
Yeah, and I'm not oblivious to this, or you know, there's been this sort of war for a long time now about accessibility in games, and I don't mean like, you know, disabilities, but I just mean like games being in more places. And I remember like at one point Microsoft went to PC and then people said it was going to be the end of Xbox, but then also PlayStation ended up going to PC. But it's different because it's not day and date the way it is on Xbox. So technically they're still quote first party. And it's just like, okay, we're drawing these lines, even though they've been blurring for what, probably close to 7-8 years now. And like, yes, it used to be you bought a console and the reason that you bought that console was to play the exclusive games, right? That's how it works. But that would be ignoring, I think, a lot of modern technology, as well as that the industry has grown past that. I know that really upsets some people, but the access to the game is far more important than the access to the console. And like you said, it's like the only people that really cared were the people that were upset that their box is losing. But Microsoft has been losing for like 10 years, people. Like, like I don't know how else to say that. Of just like, I don't.
Yeah. For whatever reason, the PS5 is selling it like sometimes 2 to 1. Like, again, for some reason, because it's not like the PS5 has a ton of games out there, like especially that's first party. It's just word of mouth. It's just always been PlayStation's kind of direction.
Yeah, and I know that this is a talking point for Phil Spencer about like when the Xbox One generation was not the generation to lose because people started building their digital library. And while I think there's some PR wrapped into that, it's a true statement. Like, you are building your library digitally, and that changes. That's the same reason why Apple wants to rope you into Apple Music. That's why Spotify wants you. Like, they want to keep you in there because you're comfortable there. You do everything there. So that's a real thing. However, I think we would have got here anyway. This, you know, call me crazy. I think that the exclusive, quote, is slowly dying. I'm not saying like tomorrow Nintendo is going to come out and release Mario on PC, but if Mario started coming out on PC, I would not be that surprised. Like, all it's going to take is one, you know, a Wii U like situation, and Nintendo is going to have to start thinking other ways to bring in revenue. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. This is about revenue. So I just, the fact that the internet like exploded, I was a little just like, I don't even know the word. I was a little confused about it. Like, Microsoft has been saying that they're going to do this for like 10 years and like we're getting there, and people just, did you think they were lying?
I mean, I don't think people thought they were lying. I think really they thought it might've been in a different way type of thing, you know? Cause honestly, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, did Sony get Game Pass? Is that what you're trying to sneak out there maybe or something? Like, because to say like here's 3 or 4 titles coming to PS5, I'm like, why? I mean, not why, I get it. Again, revenue. That was the whole thing was about revenue. But at the same time, like, you're only giving them 3 or 4 games. Like, why even? You're clearly just starting there, right? So if it does well, you're giving them more games and then more games and then more games.
Right.
You know,
it's an experiment, but it's an experiment for PR reasons. Like, what I will say is I do believe some of the conspiracies that there might be some type of internal conflict at Microsoft about this, because it's like you said, it's strange. It's like you picked these 4 games and like, we love Hi-Fi Rush. We gave it our game of the year. Like, that's a phenomenal game. However, it's not Gears of War. It's not Halo. And say what you want about those titles, they still have the IP clout, and their most recent outings weren't the best. But like, that would be a big deal, you know, like if Halo. But it's just this notion that Hi-Fi Rush, Pentiment, and Grounded and Sea of Thieves are like going to light up the charts. I don't quite see the point. You know, Sea of Thieves and Grounded, those are service-based games. They rely on player counts. That makes sense to me. If Hi-Fi Rush explodes on PlayStation, you better believe Halo and Forza are right behind it.
Right.
Like, because those games already draw more than Hi-Fi Rush will ever draw. And I don't. So I will agree that, like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, either commit or don't. Because it just makes it a PR nightmare.
That was my issue walking out of the. That was my major issue walking out of that kind of conference. I'm just kind of like, oh, that dialogue they call it a podcast, excuse me.
Right.
Was, why are you drip feeding me this information? Like, Because to your point, we knew this was happening for about 10 years now. It's finally happening, and you just give them 3 or 4 games, and it's and again to your point, it's 3 or 4 games. That's not even like the games, like
right,
like honestly,
like what are you gonna learn? I don't.
Like
that there's more players, so you have more customers, and that might buy your game. Like, duh. Like, I don't.
It's such a Microsoft move, you know, because I think back to like when the Dreamcast failed and Sega went third party. It wasn't like they went to Sony and were like, okay, you guys get Sonic, Xbox, right. You guys get Yakuza. It's like, no, we're just giving out the games now. It's about revenue, like you said. It's like, so we need to recoup. So that's why in my mind, at the end of it, I was like, just give them Game Pass. Like,
right.
I said that like Sony wants it. Like clearly there's dialogue there, but I mean, just go for it at that point.
Yeah, and to me, it would make more sense because, and we'll get into the Game Pass talk here in a minute, but it's just like what happens if these games don't, what if these games like even, they come in below expectations? They have to have some type of expectations of what they think they're going to pull in, right? Or else they wouldn't be doing this. What if it comes in below that? Then what? Like, what happens?
Right.
Like, so because you didn't bring over your tentpole franchises, so can you really get any data that reflects anything that's going to make your next move? So to me, that's why the internal conflict at Microsoft might be a real thing. Like, I could see that. I can see the argument of being like, look, the brand is Gears of War and Halo, et cetera. We can't give those games away because then Xbox is irrelevant. But at the same time, like, the brand of these games overshadows everything. That's the only reason why you can bring them to another platform and people even care. Exactly. Like, so I don't, that's the part that I don't understand. It's just like, nobody is like clamoring that Xbox is this like amazing brand. Like, nobody, like, it's a brand that's recognizable, but it's not the Apple of gaming. It's, you know, I would argue that PlayStation isn't even, like, PlayStation is a much better brand recognition. And I think they have, like, if you had to rate them in terms of like dollar value, PlayStation dwarfs Xbox exponentially, but they're going down the same route. Like, God of War is going to eventually be a bigger brand than PlayStation. You know, they're trying to synergize by doing movies and TV shows and Last of Us. You know, like, they're doing a good job at that. But The Last of Us, I would say, is a far more reputable brand than that's not fair. The IP is far more important than the PlayStation name, if that makes sense. Because without Last of Us and without Uncharted, nobody cares about PlayStation. So it's this weird, it's like this weird internal conflict that Microsoft has about like Windows. Like, Windows is still a thing to them. And in reality, it's that there aren't that many options with Windows, and you know, Windows.
Right, exactly.
Like, nobody's like, I just love Windows, man. I just love it. Like, so I'm very confused by a lot of this corporate speak but.
I mean, that's a good point. And to that point, Sony has been doing during its lifetime a good job at shifting those IPs around so that I think we don't just assume or stick Sony to the one lane that they do, although they are very, very heavily into the over the shoulder third person cinematic gaming thing right now. But throughout their lifetime, they were able to switch between the Crash Bandicoots, the Final Fantasies, the Uncharted's. Like, you still look for, like, right now their brand is still, what's the new game you're going to give me? Because, like, right. Demon's Souls came from there, you know? So, like, and it's the biggest game, it's the biggest, it's not series, but imitation game out there right now.
It's a genre, I guess you could call it at this point.
So, So speaking to that, and then the fact that Microsoft still, the tentpole is still Gears of War in Halo and Forza.
Right. Sony has done a very good job at being the place to play the biggest games. Like, they've even dwarfed Nintendo in that. Like, Nintendo, you buy Nintendo to play Nintendo games. Like, that's what you do. You buy it to play Mario. Like, Sony deserves all the credit in the world. But at the same time, all it takes is 2 to 3 years of those games not hitting.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden the PlayStation means nothing, you know, like, and that's exactly why they're looking at PC as well, is because they know that it's not an infinite drip. It's the access to the content is by far more important as these budgets are ballooning, as people are, I don't want to say people are getting over it because that's not fair, but like, it's you've maxed out your potential audience. You've been competing for the same 100 million people for the past 30 years. Like, there has to be other sources of revenue. Now, if you want to have a discussion about like the games media in general and like how game budgets and stuff are ballooning, and that the only reason they need to go to PC is because it's out of control, like, we could have that conversation, right? But like, that, those are two very different things. So I don't know. To me, we've been saying this for a while, I think you've mostly agreed, but it's like this notion that like Xbox and PlayStation are like the thing now. It's like, no, like Game Pass is Microsoft's thing. Like, the services of these companies and services in general are the new things. Xbox has been dead for a while. Game Pass is now the new Xbox. Xbox doesn't even mean anything anymore. When they say Xbox, a lot of people still associate it with a physical console. When they say Xbox, they're talking about PC as well. Like, because there's an Xbox app and there's Xbox Cloud and all these other things. They don't just mean the console, but they don't even convey that well sometimes. It's like, no, the service is what they want to sell you on. It's the same way that Sony's trying to sell you on movies, because they want to sell you their services. Like, it's a very strange thing to me that so many people are still attached to these brands and these physical boxes as if they're not just literally the same pieces of silicone wrapped in different layers of other plastic to cool them.
No, exactly. But that's when the idea of the exclusives is supposed to keep you in their ecosystem. You know, like you still want to buy that PlayStation because you want to get that game, or that Xbox because you going to get that game there. The Xbox saying you get these four games now, and then if it takes off, it says, okay, now you get Halo. Okay, now you get Gears. Okay, now you get Forza. At that point, it's, again, they're at this point, they're a Game Pass over Xbox. That's just a very slow drip of going, all right, now we're not doing consoles. But that's not today or tomorrow or even in the next 4 or 5 years, though, I don't think.
Yeah, and so that's the tough part, is that because in my opinion, you used to have to compete on games, but now you have to compete on your services. Like, I know a lot of people don't like services. I don't love them either. However, this show is about a service, you know, and it's because it does offer things that some people hate. Some people, you know, it devalues games and stuff. Again, that's a different conversation. But I think a situation to where they have to actually compete on what their hardware does versus the games being the hardware, if that makes sense. Like, you have to get a PlayStation to get this. Instead, it's like, okay, we both have Halo, but we offer it this way or this way. That makes far more sense to a consumer on a competition level than you being locked into these ecosystems. And the part that drives me crazy is, like, people hate services. Buying a console is a down payment to a service, and the service is that drip feed of games. It's the same thing. It's just not charged to you monthly. Like, it's just a down payment on a house that you have to then buy the accessories for, basically. I would much rather be able to buy what I want to buy and then play what I want to play on it. I don't think that's very scary or...
In that case, buy a PC.
A hot take. Yeah, exactly. I have that option. Like, yeah. And I've been doing that, and I don't... But people hate that. Like, well, then why do I buy an Xbox? Don't. Buy a PC. I don't...
Well...
I don't... Why are you so upset that you don't have to buy an Xbox?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, you can't say that anymore. Like, I used to say the same thing for a long time. Like, just build a PC. Just buy a PC. But the problem is the PC ecosystem now has become a joke. You know? Like, you couldn't get a decent graphics card for, like, a year and a half. Like, it's like... Building a PC is no longer something anyone can just do and play today's hottest games. Like, now, if you're building a PC, you're automatically an enthusiast level gamer. And
it's more of a commitment, that's for sure. Like that down payment is much taller.
Well, commitment,
but then again, but like if you look at the Steam Deck though.
Your graphics card costs as much as your whole console. So like it makes sense to me why people want their consoles still, and they want their consoles to be special still. Like it does make sense to me.
But the console doesn't need to be a walled garden. Like it really doesn't. I don't.
There's no point of getting it.
But to play your games, though, like that's like gaming is the only industry that does this to where it's like we want you to come to our store.
Another one.
Because they don't have to compete that way. I guess that's more what I'm saying. It's like if all the games if the markets were just open. And you put your games everywhere, you'd have to compete on hardware. Like that, it's the same way cell phones work. Like you don't go to AT&T to get AT&T. You know what I'm saying? Like it's an option that you have, and they need to sell you on why you need to go to AT&T. They used to do that with the iPhone, but then as soon as the iPhone opened up everywhere, they got more iPhones. Like because they could get more iPhones. It's the same thing as the stock market. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not saying it doesn't make any sense to me. What I'm saying is that way of thinking is very old, and I don't understand why people are so upset about it. I understand that we could have an argument if one way is better than the other, but to be upset about it is where I get a little confused, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, again, the only people really upset are the NeoGafters who don't touch grass at all. But, I mean, for the most part, if you're selling consoles, like you're competing against other consoles, so you definitely want to have the better service and or games on it. So if the service and the games are on all of the consoles, then you're just going then as the gamer, you're going to go to the console that has everything plus the exclusive.
Yes, I mean, right. That's how it is now, but
I mean, that's how it will be because if the Xbox is just Game Pass, which is what it is, then there will be no reason to make a physical console because Game Pass is going to be on all of the consoles, and then so will their games.
Right, but somebody has to make that hardware. Like I get if. If the Steam, if the market on the PC, I don't say if the market on the PC is what you're describing, is that it's a completely open market. There's no exclusives for the Steam Deck. There's no exclusives for the ROG Ally, but people are still buying them because they're competing on what the features of the hardware are.
I mean. Yes, but they're also buying them because they're also building and buying PCs because they're PCs, you can do whatever you want on a PC.
Right, but you're also competing on that market too. You're building the NVIDIA and AMD has to compete to get your money.
The hardware. They're competing. Okay.
Right. So like you have the choice as a customer of like all the content is the same. I get to choose how I want to consume it instead of me having to go by the box and being told how to consume it. That makes far more sense to me as a consumer and is better for the consumer than these two or three companies, if you want, you know, Nintendo, whatever. People go back and forth on if Nintendo's in the same conversation or not. But like that, if you had to actually compete on the hardware to get me into your ecosystem and your features, I think about Xbox 360. Like Xbox 360 and PS3, we can have this argument all day long about how the 360 had more exclusives, et cetera, but Call of Duty was better on Xbox because of the ecosystem, in my opinion. Had way better voice chat. The party system was better. The dashboard was better. It ran better. Like, we can have that argument that maybe you bought an Xbox to play Halo 3, but third-party games like Call of Duty was available on anything, yet you still bought it on Xbox. So you can have that argument like, yes, I got an Xbox because of Halo, but you didn't have to buy Call of Duty on your Xbox. So something pulled you there. What was it? It wasn't Halo. You didn't buy Call of Duty because you bought Halo. You bought it because you liked the experience of the ecosystem. It's the same way. That's why you buy headphones. You buy headphones that you like from Samsung or whatever. I'm rambling at this point, but I guess that's just my point. Yeah.
No, I mean, I do agree with that for the most part, but in terms of like the PC ecosystem, it's, if for some reason Nvidia got some exclusive rights to the next Witcher game, they're like, the choice is clear on what you're going to build your PC based off of. Like, it's not even a question.
But they already do that, though. Like, DLSS is a feature of NVIDIA. And sometimes games run better on NVIDIA and AMD. And the market freaks out when that happens. They freak out when a game runs better on one piece of hardware than the other. Imagine if that, like...
As they should, yeah. But I mean...
Right, but like, it's...
But to that point, like, that's why NVIDIA does that. Like, I mean, that's... You need to get ahead over your competitor, and I feel like that's how graphics cards do it. And if you're selling consoles, you'd still want that head over your competitor. Otherwise, you don't need to sell the console.
Right. I guess I probably said that and it didn't come across the way I wanted to. I don't think that's a good thing, but that's like the console exclusive. Like, the internet freaks out if a game runs better on NVIDIA and then on AMD, but when a game only comes to Xbox, people don't like that either, you know, or they cheer that. They cheer that it works better on Xbox. They cheer that it's only on Xbox. Like, oh yeah, that's my brand. But if NVIDIA did that, the PC market would be like, absolutely not. You should not be closing the gates like that. You should not be making this only available on NVIDIA, et cetera. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Well, because
It does, because there's a difference there. It's not like the game is unplayable on.
Yeah, fair enough.
On the other hardware, it's just simply, instead of getting 120 frames, you're getting 119.
I don't know if it's that close. Like, there are, I get your point though. Yeah.
So like, it's not completely unplayable, and if it was, then people would be like, well, they wouldn't be cheering for it, but they just hate it even more because the PC market is completely different than the console market. Like, the PC market is, I built this myself so I can do whatever I want on it. It's because the people buy PCs, people build PCs not just to play these big quadruple A games. Like, no, they're building it. Like, how many Steam Decks have a Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis or whatever emulator on it? Like, that's what you get it for. Like, that's what it's a completely different market because of what you can do with it. If you're still selling a console in the next 15, 20 years, you're going to need something to be like, yeah, you have to buy this one, whether it's the exclusive or Microsoft saying, no, for real, this box is way better. Like, way better.
Right.
Like absolutely. But like triple times the better, you know? Yeah.
I don't think any of that would happen unless, like, this move that Microsoft is doing of saying, like, we're going to stop trying to do these walled gardens and instead we're going to try to compete in other ways. I think as a consumer, that's just far more exciting. Instead of having to buy a box to play the thing, sell me a box that's better than the other thing because of XYZ.
I like that idea better than exclusive. Right. Like, just sell me a better. Because right now these boxes are the same.
Yeah, but they're literally the same thing. Yeah.
But then again, the issue with that is if consumers don't buy the better box,
right,
then it's like Activision is now Xbox, but I mean, but now you're just building games that are going to run on both anyway.
Right. And so, and people freaked out when Microsoft gave options as well. Like, people still think the Series S is just like the bane of everything, as if low end graphics cards aren't a thing, you know, like the Series S is why games are not progressing. It's like, sure, I'll give you that one, I guess. I can't say you're wrong.
The PS4 is way worse than that.
Right. But to their credit, they do hate that there's games that are cross-gen with PS4 as well, you know. But again, there's so many other things at play that it just becomes this one, you know, argument over and over. And anyways, but I think we said our piece on that. So let's pivot to Game Pass for a little bit. There's not much to say here other than like the rumors of there being a new tier and that they were going to stop doing day one games were just not true. Personally, that sounds made up to me because you can't, whenever you take something away, you better have a very good reason, or you better come with some additional features, et cetera, or else you will lose subscribers. Like, that's any major company has done that. Raising the price is not the same as taking features away. Like, if they would have announced a Game Pass price increase, we've said it for a long time, like, that it's going to happen. Like, that that's part of life. That's going to happen, especially in the modern economy. I don't like it. I'm not encouraging it, but that is what it is. But this idea that they're going to take day one games off of it or charge you more for that feature and introduce a new tier, that just seemed very far-fetched to me. Like, if you do that, then there's no point in, like, you're shooting the quote brand in the head at that point.
See, and my thing about that was they would totally do something like that if they had more of a stranglehold on the market. If they're
fair point.
If Game Pass was really taken, not that it's not taken off, but if it really was like the blockbuster hit that they wanted it to be, and it was on every console, and it was just like all the games are on there. Oh, they definitely would have tried something like they definitely play hardball with the consumer at that point. But I don't think we're there yet. I mean, they're still. I mean, depending on what reports you want to read or believe, I mean, Game Pass is still sort of a lost leader for them. So they're not going to do anything to hurt the customer. If anything, they'll be doing things to help the customer out.
Right, and I on this topic, the reason that I think why this. Whatever you want to call it, rumor, whatever, got so much traction is because there's this constant narrative around Game Pass that it's devaluing games and there's absolutely no way they're making any money on it. The Insomniac leak came out and people are having a lot of confirmation bias because Sony called, I think it was, they put Horizon Forbidden West, like maybe it was a year, it was like 6 months to a year or something like that on PlayStation Plus. And then they said, well, based upon the numbers of the original Horizon and the tail of sales that we had, we lost somewhere like, I think it was like $80 million or something like that. This is not sustainable. And it's like, okay, like if you want to have that argument, those are two very different arguments. A, what they said was, is they lost $100 million on the tails of that game. But what they didn't say is how much money they made off of PlayStation Plus. Like, maybe that game lost $80 million in sales, but how much did they gain from their subscriber base? Like, those are, when you start putting everything into perspective and in the same bowl, how Microsoft is, the numbers and stuff have to change. You can't start saying like, well, Gears of War cost $100 million to make, but they only sold 5 million copies, so therefore they lost money. It's like, yeah, but they're getting their money from you other ways. Like, that's not, you are being manipulated, which numbers are always manipulated. And I'm not saying that they're not losing money, but what I'm saying is that they're presenting it in a way to try to make it seem like this is not a sustainable thing because they don't want to have to compete in it. That's
right. Exactly.
That's where you're being. Now, again, that is not me saying that Game Pass is sustainable and it's making hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not saying that the numbers are magical and they're just pulling in all those kinds of money. What I'm saying is that don't take the competitor to Microsoft's word for the entire business model. That does not make sense to me. So that's why I think that whole thing is exploding, is because there's just this. Like, this, there's absolutely no way it's making money and it's devaluing games, which the devaluing games thing, I still don't understand that one. Like, I understand the argument, but I don't understand the, I don't see that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you on that. It's actually horse crap.
Yeah.
You only play more games with Game Pass. It is still, as much as I want more quality things on the service, it's still the best bang for your buck you're going to get out there right now.
Yeah, and there's the notion that like Netflix has devalued movies and stuff like that, and it's like
that's true.
I
like movies more than I like games, and that's my take. Netflix is kind of ruining the. Whatever.
This is not a movie podcast. Like, I understand that argument, but there was always a ton of movies and a ton of TV shows that you just never watched. Like, There used to be 85 different channels on basic cable. Did you watch every single one of those? So was the Hallmark Channel devaluing movies by putting out the same movie every 6 months? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it was definitely more. It was definitely a little more curated. That's here and there though. At the end of the day, you still get your. It's just a matter of more things and more ways to play. And it's up to you as the consumer now to do your homework to find the thing that works for you.
Right.
It's no longer like you can just wait for Nintendo Power Magazine to come out and be like, okay, what's the game I'm going to cover? That's what I'm going to buy this month. Like now you have to like do your own footwork, hit the subreddits,
right.
And do all the, and honestly just put your money down. Sometimes you just go and take a gamble.
Right. And that's, to me, that's a great way to put it, because this whole thing of just like, wow, there's all this junk on Netflix I don't want to watch. It's like, then don't watch it. Just because you're not finding something that you like doesn't mean that the entire market has been brought down.
Exactly.
Like, I just don't subscribe to that theory in the slightest. Like, there's still plenty of great stuff that I find. Like, have I watched more junk than I ever have? 100%. But that's because it's available to me. Like, that doesn't, because I was an idiot and didn't turn off Love Island or whatever the heck I watched the other day.
Oh, like, what season you're on?
I've only seen like two episodes, and I was like, "This is dumb."
Love is Blind's where it's at, man. Like,
I like Love on the Spectrum. I like that. I like that show quite a bit. So, like, but like again, I would call that trash TV. However, I still watched it. Like, I had the choice to do it. Same thing with Game Pass. Like, because Brotato is on Game Pass, I think Brotato is a pretty weak roguelite. That doesn't mean that all the roguelites suffer because Brotato is on Game Pass. Like, I just don't subscribe to that. It's such a blanket statement that holds no weight, in my opinion. And the minute you start drilling down past the surface, the straw man arguments happen. Like, what about this? And what about this? And it's like, okay, you're now having different conversations. So if you want to have the conversation, if Game Pass is sustainable at the current price, we can have that conversation. Personally, I think it probably is, because when you compare it to Sony is making $300 million games. I personally don't believe Microsoft is trying to compete on that level. They are still charging $70 for a game like Forza, but then you look at stuff like Hellblade. I don't think Hellblade's a $300 million game. That's probably a $50 to $100 million game. So they don't need to pull in 15 million sales the way Sony does. So they can charge less for their stuff, and they technically are by charging $50 for it, and it's putting it on Game Pass. Like, if every game had a $300 million budget, like a Last of Us or Horizon Forbidden West, yeah, I'd say that's a problem. But Microsoft isn't competing that way. I think it – is it pulling in the truckloads of money that they probably want it to be? Absolutely not. Like, it's – they did the thing that they said – that we said they were going to do. They've now combined Game Pass core numbers – and Game Pass, the previous tiers, whatever they are now, and they're now like, we have 34 million Game Pass subscribers. Like, that doesn't really tell me anything now, because you've taken the two markets and thrown them. So, like, it should still be higher than that. That's what I'll say. Like, they probably want more than 34 million subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting more, honestly.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, that was softer than I expected.
Yeah, because the service is still the better service you're going to get. But to our conversation earlier, it's the fact of the matter is companies get monies in different ways. So Sony can take a slight hit, if a hit at all, on a $300 million game, because you just built up the brand. Now, right. The Last of Us is out, game of the generation, movies and TVs with Pedro Pascal and all this stuff is happening. It's like, okay, now you're making your money on that gamble just paid off. Whereas, like, but the game itself may not have made a bunch of money. So it's brand recognition is the name of the game right now. And I feel like Game Pass, I don't know what they can do, but the brand recognition of Game Pass needs to be on a much higher level. They need to do better marketing somehow with the service, because
I mean, Call of Duty's got to be the answer, right? Like, there's they've definitely hit a wall with Game Pass, and I think they hit that wall way sooner than they expected. I think even sooner than we would have expected.
Call of Duty is not the answer, and my theory is Call of Duty players aren't gamers. You know, they're Call of Duty players. And just like you said, the 360 is all about the ecosystem. Wherever most people have their, whatever console is selling the most, that's where Call of Duty is going to sell the most. Because they don't, even if you tell a Call of Duty player who has a PlayStation 5, it's free over here. Just, you don't have to pay the money. Like, you can play it for free here. They'll go, no. Like, I buy three games a year, Call of Duty, Madden, and FIFA. Like, I'm good over here. Unless there's a huge market change and all my buddies are now on Xbox. Like,
I mean, I don't think I entirely agree. Like, with stuff like crossplay, which I think does make a difference, I agree with you. Like, it won't just be Call of Duty. Like, just say, like, Call of Duty is going to be the thing. But I think Call of Duty could be, you know, the fuel for it, because it starts with Call of Duty. And while I'm not an Indiana Jones fan, like, that game looks pretty cool.
Stop it.
Like,
stop like it. That, stop I, it, Slime. I like, stop it, Slime.
I don't, nope. I don't like that game. That game stop looks cool.
Stop it, Slime. Nope. No, we're not doing this one. Nope.
It looks cool.
Sure it does. Sure it does, buddy. Indiana Jones.
Okay, I don't even like Indiana Jones. That game looks cool.
Nobody does. What a dumb idea for a video game.
So it starts with Call of Duty, then maybe it's Indiana Jones, or maybe it's Elder Scrolls. You know, like, they have that brand synergy. It's not even synergy, really, but they've got the IP now. They just have to capitalize on it, and that's. But I agree with that. I think Call of Duty could be a bigger bigger piece of ignition than
Elder Scrolls,
than I think people are giving it for.
Elder Scrolls, maybe. Not Call of Duty. Call of Duty people, they can buy whatever their buddies buy. And their buddies already bought the PS5. They're not.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like this year, it's not going to be Call of Duty. But going down the line, again, it starts with Call of Duty. It's like, well, we always play Call of Duty, right? It's like, yeah, but then on Game Pass also, you're going to get Fable. You know, you're going to get whatever the next Doom game is. You know, like, there's... I think there's more to that than people will give it credit for.
I want to agree with you there, but the Call of Duty, but specifically Call of Duty, I agree with you on other games. I guess I'm just disagreeing on the Call of Duty fan base, but I agree with you
It takes one good, really good Call of Duty game to get people back. You know, Call of Duty's dead. How many times have we heard that? Then Modern Warfare comes out every year. But then the one comes out that people really like, and all of a sudden it's again, it's still the best selling game every year, yet it's dead. I don't quite understand that one. But when the good Call of Duty happens, people care. So
bring back Ghosts.
There you go. But then some people seem to think that they're not going to put Call of Duty on Game Pass, and I just don't. That would be surprising to me. If I was a betting man, I'm gonna put my stake in the ground right now and say they're putting Call of Duty on Game Pass, 100%. I do not think that is going to change. So I'm curious, what would you say?
They're going to do a two-tier system.
See, I know, I that's crazy to me. I don't
exactly.
There's no
it's
point.
Stupid. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, there's gonna be a Game Pass version, and then there's gonna be the full price version.
But there's already a free version of Warzone.
Yeah, but that's not Call of Duty though. That's not the new Call of Duty.
I guess
new Call of Duty drops day one Game Pass, and for $40 you get the full you get the premiere version
that'll be a thing. Like, well, they already do that though. Like, they did that with Starfield on Game Pass. You could spend $30 to get the DLC and play it early. Like, there'll be that package for sure. But the base version will be on Game Pass.
I think they'll do some weird gatekeeping thing. That's honestly my prediction. It's gonna be some weird gatekeeping thing where it's gonna launch on PlayStation. I'm sorry, they're going to have two tiers, and the second pay tier is going to be the same game you get on PlayStation 5.
Interesting. The thing is I could totally see that happening, but
it's dumb. And why would you do it? Which is why I'm betting you'll do it.
The rumor is basically like that, like Call of Duty makes too much money to give it away on Game Pass. And it's like, I agree with that, actually. I understand that logic, but then again, if
I wouldn't do it,
if it's not called, like, I don't understand why you,
that's what I'm saying.
If you were going to make your changes to Game Pass, then you would have done it right now.
But that's what I'm saying.
To preemptively fight that Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty's coming out in 8 months, right? You have to get out ahead of that a good year in advance and say, to set the expectation that Call of Duty is not coming to Game Pass. They have not done that. The fact that they have not done that, and the fact that all of this crap just happened to where, hey, they're going third party, we're giving these games over here, this would have been the time to say it, and they did not say it.
Again, you're thinking like a smart person. This is not what Microsoft does. Like,
you got me there.
There's no, the fact that you laid it out that clearly lets me be a way more hesitant and be like, yeah, that is definitely coming to Game Pass. In this way, though.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. Last thing we'll talk about it quickly. So the other rumor is that Microsoft's getting out of the console business. They've confirmed that it's not true. They are, quote, working on the biggest leap in Xbox or console history of power and blah, blah, blah.
Nobody cares.
But yeah, the rumor has been that there is going to be a new SKU that's going to be a high-end SKU, but they're also working on some type of portable. So there will not be a two-tiered system in terms of, there will not be a Series S and an X. There's going to be a portable version, which will obviously be less powerful. But they are going to go full fat, you know, bells and whistles console. Rumors 2026. So that, I would believe that one, actually. But
a new, more powerful Xbox?
That they're going early. So PlayStation Pro is this year. And then, so the rumor has been 2028. We learned that during the FTC trial, that's when Microsoft thinks Sony's going to go. That's when they were kind of playing around with it, like thinking that's probably when we'll go. But the rumor is that since that's changed, and they are aiming for 2026 to sort of that leapfrog. But they don't want to keep going directly against Sony head to head at the holiday season. They want to have a new box that they have their own market of being the new thing. Et cetera, et cetera.
That's literally the only chance.
Yeah, I agree.
They have to come out before. It doesn't even, as long as it doesn't even need to be strong. Like, it does need to be stronger, but it doesn't need to be what they claim is the biggest, strongest thing ever. Like, shut up, you're a liar. But it needs to be first, because that's the only opportunity. Because once PlayStation comes out, it's going to be all right. It's a PS5 Pro show again.
Right. Them getting out of the hardware business, I know that, like, seemed.
Not today, but.
It's that rumor that just won't die. And I just don't. Again, I'm not trying to defend Microsoft. Microsoft is a terrible PR company. They have some of the worst PR in the history of PR. But logically, it does not make sense to get out of hardware right now. It just doesn't.
Not right now. Like, anyone who thought it was happening now is like, you're absolutely a ludicrous person. I do foresee it happening somewhere down the line. Don't ask me a date or a time frame. Like, you will always and forever have a Nintendo and a PlayStation in your home underneath your TV. There will come a time where Xbox is Game Pass, and I think And for the NeoGAF people, that's a horrible, terrible, we lost the war thing. But, like, no, like, business-wise, for Microsoft, that's not a bad deal at all. Because at the end of the day, like, they have a lot of good properties. They just don't know what to do with them. So, at some point down the line, if they want to go third, I think they will go third party. And I think you get better Xbox games at that point. I mean, more consistently good Xbox games at that point, I think.
For me, it's, yeah, like, if you wanted me to say, like, which one of them is going to go third party first, yeah, Microsoft, duh. But again, and I don't, I unfortunately, I agree with a lot of the things that Phil Spencer says, but the problem is again, their PR is very, very bad. Like, Phil Spencer is the king of talking out both sides of his mouth. He's been doing it since he took over Xbox, and he's, the thing is like, I don't dislike the guy, but I don't love him either. But I think he's right when it says like, third party is it's not going to be what it is, you know, like Sony and Microsoft are both technically third party. They publish games on things other than their console. Now, if you want to get into the logistics of it, of, well, technically Sony only publishes old games. Microsoft does it on PC day one. Like, sure, I cannot refute that, but the term, quote, third party has now been morphed into this other thing. But I think all of them, including Nintendo, eventually will publish their games elsewhere. That's, I truly do believe that.
By elsewhere, probably PC, but not like,
correct,
other consoles. And by that, you're not seeing Mario on a PlayStation.
Not in 2025 or 2026.
You're never going to see it happen.
The only time that these companies start contemplating this is when they start losing money or their hardware doesn't take off.
Yeah, they think about it, but you never see Mario on a PlayStation. That'd be Armageddon like type thing for a Nintendo. Like they would have to sell 16 consoles, and then
yeah, again, that's my point is that when it gets time to do that, because something, if they have another Wii U disaster, if they would have had two disasters of a Wii U level of hardware.
We're talking.
Right, you would be seeing Mario on PC right now, probably.
Maybe, like,
because it makes sense. If you don't have the hardware to sell, like, that makes sense to me. But they also would still sell their own thing because they still need to develop for it. Like, the landscape of PCs and all that, like, they're all PCs now, right? They're just wrapped up different ways. So I'm not saying that Nintendo's going to do that in the next 5 years. But the quote third party, you're going to see PlayStation, you're going to see Xbox. They are going to publish on each other's machines. I would bet money on it. Again, it's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen overnight. But
I don't see why they even. I guess. I mean, but to that point, first of all, like, if PlayStation does publish something on an Xbox, it's going to be the Phil Spencer route right now, where it's going to be like, okay, you can have Last of Us 1 finally. You're going to have that one. Or you can have God of War 1 finally. But it's literally going to be like the drip feed of, we'll pick which ones you can have.
Yeah, timed exclusive. It's the same thing, just with a first-party game.
And then, but conversely, though, I think Xbox is way more in line to, and I think it's going to actually happen where it's just going to be full on third party. Like, it's coming out here and there. Take it. A1 play it. Whereas the PlayStation will treat the Xbox like it treats the PC. We're launching our biggest games right now here. And then 2-3 years down the line, you can have it.
For now, I still like, I look at Helldivers and like Helldivers is a major success on PC. Like, we can't ignore.
Still,
like what?
You're still trying to act like that, the PC is a console competitor of some sort. It's not.
It would 100%, like, again, we have to stop putting up these arbitrary lines.
It's not arbitrary.
It's the same content. It's the same thing.
A console exclusive is still a console exclusive if it comes out on the PC at some point.
That's like saying a Steam Deck has console exclusives because it's only on PC.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I don't see the delineation there.
Because the console is the box that you go out of your way to pay for because you're not building a PC. Like if everyone, because we're no longer in a market where anyone can just build their own PC that could play these big title games. If you're a PC enthusiast, you're playing everything. You're literally finding a way to play literally everything, including Nintendo games, current Nintendo games that come out day one. It's a completely different ecosystem. Like
I'm gonna Google this number just so I don't. I'm gonna say it's like 100 million, but I could be talking my butt. Let me look here. Steam. So there's 132 million active Steam users. There are not 132 million enthusiast PC players. There's just not. There are plenty of people on PC that are not, they don't have a 4080 or 4090. They don't have a 13th gen Intel. They've got a Steam Deck. They've got a off-the-shelf part or off-the-shelf PC. They've got a laptop that's got a 2060 in it. You know, like, that's, I think on the hardcore enthusiast, I think you're right, but the majority, the average consumer, the same way it's the average consumer for PlayStation and Xbox, they're not that person.
To a degree, for sure, but like, they're just not, they're not worried. Like, PlayStation needs to worry about console sales and game sales to the competitors, for sure. That those are other consoles. They're not worried about what piece, like, they're not worried about people building PCs. Like, it's not. God of War is a PlayStation exclusive. It doesn't matter if it comes out PC at some point. It just doesn't.
Why? Nobody can. Why? Answer the question.
Because your PC is where you play everything anyway. Like, it's not a console. It's an absolute machine. Like,
it's the same thing.
It's really not, because you can't play. It's such an open ecosystem. It's just not the same thing. Like, PlayStation is not losing sales to a PC market. They're only gaining as opposed
But Sony thinks that they are. Losing. Like, if Sony, the literal pitch for the PlayStation 4 Pro was, as they were trying to retain customers that were going to PC for more powerful hardware. That's the literal reason the Pro variant exists.
Right. But I think they're smart enough to know they're not getting a PC gamer. They're going to get someone who wants to be a PC gamer.
Then you would lose that customer.
You will lose. Which customer? The PC want to play?
No. If Helldivers was only on PlayStation, and these people are going to PC anyway, you have potential to lose that customer. Like, if the world existed to where there was only, and I'm not saying you're saying this, if the world only existed to, it's like, Helldivers is the only game you can get right now. It's right. The only game you can get. Then I would agree with you, but it's not. Like, you're constantly being pulled by games left and right. So there's a chance that if Helldivers is only on PlayStation, you might not play Helldivers if you have a PC. Only, I guess.
Right. If you have a PC only, for sure, which is why I'm like.
Right. So you can lose. Like, it's a competitor. Like,
the PC, you wouldn't be losing. If it's just on there, you're not losing them. They don't have it in general. They don't have it at all. Like, the fact that it's on PC, right. It does not, like, and they're releasing the PS5 Pro. I don't think Sony, like, I truly don't think Sony or anyone else thinks they're pulling a PC market that already has a PC.
Say that again? They're not pulling a PC?
Like, they're not pulling a PC customer who already owns a PC, like, by releasing the PS5 Pro. They're pulling someone who might want to have a PC, but they can't afford it. They can't.
Why do they have exclusive? Like, that I won't say that proves my point, but like, that kind of doesn't. Yeah, like a little, because if they didn't have to compete against the PC, then why even put the game on PC then? Like, the whole idea is revenue. So,
I mean. Yeah, I guess to me, it would just be increased revenue. Like, there's already a player count over there, and so they're just getting both the revenues as opposed, and also trying to get the revenue of the player market who may not have the PS5 or right. have an
that's,
Xbox.
That's then, a third party publisher. Like, it's literally a third party publisher. That's literally why they do it. That's why Sega got out of the console business. To do that.
To do, because the Dreamcast failed miserably?
Because they needed more revenue. Because they weren't making enough revenue. Because they were losing customers to the other platforms. It was better to put all of their stuff on every platform to get as much revenue as possible versus trying to segment their audience and forcing them into the ecosystem.
I guess I don't see it as them losing revenue, as it's just only gaining, which I would define as the difference there. Because if it's on PlayStation and Switch, they're losing. They're in jeopardy of losing a player count, whereas on a PC, they're not in jeopardy of losing a player count. They're just only gaining a player count.
I feel like if that was the case, then you would have like the three platforms, the console manufacturers of Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, those numbers of consoles sold would be a lot closer. Like a lot closer.
Closer together.
They're pretty consistently. Nintendo has a good 30 to 40 million above, you know, there's basically 1, 2, and 3, and there's always about a difference of about 30 million.
I mean, again, that makes, to me, that makes some sort of sense simply because, not simply because, but rather because the PlayStation, again, like people pick their consoles based off certain aspects of it. Like for Nintendo, people want to play the Nintendo games and they have that count. Whereas Sony, people want to wait for their once every 6 years God of War game and they have that count for it. I don't see... When I think competitor, when I think competitor, I think someone losing as opposed to only gaining.
I guess I don't. If the product was different, but it's literally, if there was two different products, I could see that, but it's the same product. Like, my side is that if revenue is, like, as we both agree that revenue is the ultimate goal, right? Like the movie industry and mostly entertainment industry, you have a window of success, and that's, you plan out, hey, there's nothing coming out here. Like when Grand Theft Auto 5, 6 comes out, you better believe there's nobody someone's going to try, but there'll be nobody that's smart that releases a game within a month of Grand Theft Auto 6.
Exactly. Three months, really.
Right. So this staggered approach of like, well, we're going to put God of War 6 months later on PC. Like if they truly thought that they weren't going to lose customers and they weren't competing against PC, then they would just put everything out the same day of. And I think they're going to get there because eventually they're going to see, like, it's just, we need the most revenue possible. Like, we're going to make more revenue because there's just more people out there and they have the option of using it. Like, if I have the option of PC or PlayStation, I'm that customer of where I might skip a PlayStation release because something else comes out on PC at the same time. Like, I'm actually thinking about not buying Final Fantasy. What's it called? Rebirth. Because I'm like, they're like, the PC version is coming out in a couple months, you know? So like, there's all these caveats with it of like, yeah, you're like,
is the PC version coming out in a couple of months?
I believe it's a 3 month exclusive.
Oh, okay.
So I want to say it's like 5/27 or something like that.
That's fast.
I don't know if it's not confirmed that that's when the PC version's coming out, but I believe the advertisement says like, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth will not release on any other platforms until the date of 5/27. So that doesn't mean that it's coming out on that date, but the contract, it seems to be that they cannot release it on anything else until that date. I would assume that date was picked for a reason, but you can't.
I'm about to say, like, why? Right. Like, well, that's a weird way to put that. Like,
right. Because it's the marketing thing of saying, like, the same thing when they do a third party. It's like, well, we can't say it's not coming out, you know. We can't say it's coming out on PlayStation, but what we can say is that it's only coming out on Xbox until September 1st of, you know, whatever. So, I don't know how we got here. Xbox is making new consoles. That's what we were talking about. I think it's interesting that they're going to go supposedly in 2026, like you said. I think that's actually smart. There's not, you know, there's like 25 to 30 million Series X's and S's. Those customers are not going to be upset that you're going to only have a 6-year cycle instead of an 8. I'm not upset about it. I think it gives them an opportunity to compete in a different way of trying to capture that audience in a new way. And I think the portable makes sense considering the xCloud initiative, and they clearly want to have a second SKU out there that's more approachable than just the high end console crowd. Like I know people hate the Series S. I don't hate it. I think it's actually kind of a brilliant little machine. Like I like it. But
the handheld might be nice if it could somehow compete with the Steam Deck. I mean, maybe, but I don't. It seems like a bad idea, guys.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't think it's going to be a home run like the way the Switch is. Like, I don't want to paint that, but I think there really does seem to be a market for people that want a portable, high-end gaming experience. Now that it's, I think where the difference is that we've reached that point again where we can't ignore the way that software works now. And I know some people think that's a straw man argument, but the games that when you bought a Game Boy or you bought a Vita or a PSP, those were different games. But we've reached the point now to where it's literally the same executable. It's the same code. I'm playing the same version of Diablo 4 on my Steam Deck that I'm playing on my PC. We've reached that point. And so I think that the market of a portable high-end gaming machine, a $400 machine, is doable. I genuinely do. I think we've reached that plateau, and it's only going to get better as that technology becomes better. So,
I hope so. I mean, like, it seems like a thing that like with the Switch and the Steam Deck, you guys are just kind of late to the party. I feel like, you know, like, and I know they're going to bank on Game Pass as the you buy this, you get access to 50,000 games, but.
I mean, can you imagine a decent, I'm not saying it's going to be like super high end, but like a 1080p Call of Duty machine in your hands? Like, I think there's potential for some real, like, it's not a home run. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, right, they're going to sell 100 million of them, but I right. think you could sell 15, 20 million of these things to a lot of people. That's like, I'll play Call of Duty, you know, in bed, you know, like I think
you
that's.
Know. You're not wrong. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could see it. But it's going to have to come down to marketing, though. They're going to have to really call it the Call of Duty portable machine, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, but you just said that because of Game Pass. I'm just like, man, like, Microsoft really are, they're sitting on a golden,
yeah,
you know,
they are.
Treasure trove of IP. They have to execute. You know, that just the IP doesn't sell the game. You know, or it does, but you know, the game has to be good for the IP to maintain its relevance. Look at the Halo IP. Like, it's not, it's nowhere as strong as it used to be. So we'll see. But there you have it. We just wanted to address all that because, like I said, unfortunately, we took a small break for life reasons, and all that exploded, and there was a lot of. I don't know what we call them. You know, Microsoft has a real fetish, I would call it, with like elevating their Twitter PR people. Like, there's a lot of people that shill for Xbox on Twitter and YouTube, and they do it for Nintendo and Sony as well. But Microsoft feeds into it. They really feed into it. And not all of them are bad people.
That's a good point.
Bad people, but
that's a good point. I don't think I realized. I'd never seen like PlayStation or Nintendo executives like really feed into like go on these podcasts and do all these weird things. Like they just let their troll army do the trolling.
Right, and Microsoft sort of And again, not just because if you're an Xbox focused show, that doesn't mean you're a shill. Like, I don't, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like they feed into some of them. And there was this big outcry of just like people abandoning Xbox. And I was just like, I think it's kind of funny that literally it was just bad timing on our part. And then all this stuff happened. And I'm sure there's going to be one person that's like, oh man, they're abandoning it based on their, no, it was literally just a coincidence. So we're still playing games. We got plenty of games to play. We're going to be still doing episodes. We got some episodes coming up. So, but this is always kind of fun. We normally do a State of the Game Pass here, but this truly people thought this was going to be a turning point in the history of gaming. And it turned out to not really be much at the moment. It might be the start of a lot of things, but this is not the atom bomb, as you would say, of gaming announcements, I guess. So,
to wrap up my thoughts on it, like I was just really like meh about it. Like it wasn't anything big in general. Like here's some games coming to PS5. Like who cares? Like I don't care. You try to stop the world and get all this attention to do that. To address some rumors. Yeah. Like
it could have been a tweet.
Like what are you addressing rumors for?
Yeah. Again, the Microsoft PR is so terrible at times. Like it's a very damned if you do, damned if you don't, because
I don't think Sony makes the podcast thing about that. I think Sony goes, here's a 16 word tweet. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Right. Exactly. But it's tough because Microsoft, like they literally were probably just sitting there and just like, no, none of this is happening. We're not getting out of the console business. Like we're getting a couple games on PS4. Like how did this turn into like, we're getting out of the console business. We're a third party publisher. So like, you probably should speak on that. Right. But at the same time, like maybe you shouldn't, because it's literally not true. But the fact that you went out there and said, okay, Hey, we hear you. Literally, they said, we hear you. We're going to talk about this next week. It's like, no, at that time, you just should have published whatever you had and said, no, this is what's happening. The fact that you let the internet fester for a week it's tough because you literally had nothing to do with this, right? Like, but you made it worse. Like, but at the same time, it goes back to that whole thing of like, maybe there is some kind of internal Microsoft thing of just like, you know, there's a couple people that called a lot of this right. And it's like somebody's saying something and it's weird. But as usual, Microsoft made it 10 times worse for themselves by just, you know, being late to the party, not paying attention, being tone deaf, whatever. So that has nothing to do with Game Pass or Pass. So that's going to wrap it up for this bonus episode, whatever you want to call it. We'll see you next time with the game. I don't know what game, but we'll get back on schedule here soon. So we'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.